Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Maddie.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I'm hungry.
Really? Big hungry?
Yes, actually. Very large hungry.
Wow. Wow. Who knew?
Yeah, it's a shock.
It is. It's a shell shock.
It's a shell shock. That's right. The buffet. Still would have been better. All right. Basically, this week, I saw Raw on Monday, and I've had some personal issues, some family issues. I have not seen any other wrestling. I have not kept up anything on the news sites, the dirt sheets, anything. I don't know anything else that's happened, except for I do know of the passing of Mike Graham, but I don't know any details, really. I know it was suicide. So basically, this is going to be a bit different because I'm completely out of the loop because, like I said, I'd be dealing with some, you know, important stuff. This week, we're going to talk a little about Raw because we both saw it, I suppose. But basically, you're going to tell me what's happened or review the stuff, and I'm just going to react to you. So it's kind of a bit of a different shit.
So what's different?
You're going to be less of a prick this week.
No.
No, that's true. That's not going to happen.
That's not. I mean, maybe a big prick.
Yeah.
That would be less of a prick. Not a huge prick.
Not a huge prick. A tiny prick.
Yes. Well, let's talk. Yeah, we've got, like you said, you watched Raw. I watched a few different things. I watched Impact. I watched a five-star New Japan pro wrestling match.
Holy shit. Why'd you do
from
that?
Said there was a five-star match, so I said, okay,
yeah,
well,
you normally, and you've said this to me before, you have difficulty. I like watching Japanese wrestling, but you said before you have difficulty watching it because the announcers are too harsh. You find the Japanese language very harsh to listen to for an extended period.
Yeah. Yes, and we might as well just get into it, is that two things that I found with this. The match was so good. I didn't even hear the announcing.
I've noticed that about when I'm really into it. Yeah, that's what I noticed, you know, too. I forget completely.
And also, the Japanese word for dropkick is dropkick. 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 Fuck, that made me laugh. Because he hit like four in a row.
Some things don't translate, I suppose.
Apparently that's universal.
Good stuff.
But it was, Tanahashi against Suzuki.
And now you had heard it was five stars. Would you give it that?
I guess I could if, personally, and I may just because of the investment in the characters, I thought that Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker was better. But this, I mean, definitely was a great match, and especially for going into it, not, you know, having a clue about either one of these wrestlers. The case can be made. Would I have immediately given it five stars? No, but I would have given it more than four. You know, I would, 4.5 would have been, yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you purchase this or did you watch this?
No, it's on YouTube.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's okay. I mean,
it's going to make me go back and watch the rest of it on YouTube, too, because I only saw, like, it's a half-an-hour match, this, for the title.
And I had heard that it was a few good matches on the show. That wasn't the only good thing.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I heard. So, and this sort of lived up to the hype. I said maybe not, you know, oh, this is the most perfect match that, you know, I've ever seen, but it was good. They do a lot more open-handed slaps.
Yeah.
It's the punches. It's the open-handed slaps. The interesting part about this match was there was only one pin attempt, and it was at the end.
So that is the polar opposite of Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage.
Exactly. The 1-2 one, twos. Yeah, no, there was nothing, none of that. No, I mean, they did submissions. They did a lot more submissions where, I mean, they worked a figure four for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not 10, but it was like five minutes. No word of a lie. They, but they were doing, you know, arm breakers and like, they submissions more were, you know, the near falls.
And yet it was
a
pinfall that got the win.
But it was a pinfall that got the win. I'm assuming that Tanahashi's finisher is the frog splash because he went for it about three times. And but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, that's what he won with. And spoiler alert, but he went for it a couple times before
now,
that
too.
So the pay-per-view
itself was only available for a few days. It was an iPay-per-view. It was $25. They're going to be doing another one. A couple months, so they're going to be doing. I think they got two more iPay-per-views scheduled. $25 is more than the average pay-per-view iPay-per-view that we've seen, which are tend to be between 10 and 15. I think we seen one that was 20, but generally they're less. But I understand the show is also like 5 hours long.
Well, yeah, and I mean, who knows if they have a? I mean, this was a great. I'll go back and watch the rest of the show, and you know, who knows? Maybe not the next one per se, but I mean, they're Tokyo Dome. They're,
that's
you know,
what I was
going
to ask. Does it open the door for you to think $25? It would be worth it.
It does. I mean, it definitely does. Coming off of you know, and again, it's in a swing kind of period before the Rumble. I don't see even after. Series, that doesn't matter anymore.
No,
I mean,
the Rock's not going to be
coming in
series
January
year.
4th. That's right. That's right. Well, they, I mean, they're going to have just that right time period, I guess, where the timing.
That's
could
true,
be right
and for that exact reason, ROH has gotten some money out of us at that time period in the past. You know,
that's right. So that's right. And actually, speaking of Ring of Honor, they just had their iPay-per-view as well. 1,200 buys.
Hmm. How many buys can
you? They got 1,200 buys.
How many buys can you expect when people don't know for sure that they can that it can actually watch it?
Well, they had 1,500 people viewing it. 300 got it for free somehow from either a promo or they bought some stuff off the website and got that thrown in for free. But I mean, that's half of what their peak was.
Yeah.
Like when you think 2,500 people was the most. That's pretty damn good for all the fuck-ups they've had.
Yeah.
I was expecting,
I suppose,
like
but you have to think that they never had any issue. Maybe you could have seen it, you know, expand to, I mean, I'm not, I mean, I know when they were having pay-per-views when they actually had pay-per-views on television to buy.
Right, right.
I think it was like 8 people across Canada bought it.
And yeah, we were
yeah,
one
we
of
were
them.
One of them. Literally. You know, like, just really pathetic numbers. But you have to think, I mean, if they're at their peak was 2,500, then they'd like to be at 3,000 without any mistakes, right? So, I mean.
Well, but the thing you talk about expanding, I mean, it's an iPay-per-view, not testicles.
Yeah. They're also not dropping.
That's true. But, I mean, the thing is, I took that as I was somewhat surprised, and that's actually – I would consider that actually a win for them, getting 1,200 buys for a pay-per-view – for my pay-per-view after all the problems that they have
How
had.
Much do they charge for a pay-per-view? Is it 10 or 15?
I think they're 15. I think they're like 14.
Okay, so
$14.99,
you know, do some quick math. That's what, $15,000,
$18,000? Well, yeah, 15 times, yeah, it would be – so, yeah, about that.
Okay, that's
And I don't know how much they get out of that.
I'm not sure how much they get out of that. Maybe half. It's like 9,000, and then you have to think. I mean, they pay the guys very little. I mean, their champion Kevin Steen is making maybe $200 a shot.
Yeah. They flew in their his next challenger's mask.
Yeah, that was actually cool. When I heard about that, I thought that's cool.
Yeah,
that's that. Yeah. I was like because. That's the very interesting way to reveal it and set up the anticipation. I would think that El Generico versus Steen for the title will do a good buy rate for them. But, I mean, do you think – and we've really gotten off where we normally go, which is cool, talking Japan and ROH and some independents here. I think it's time for them to shut the doors.
On ROH?
Yeah. What do you think?
You know what? The thing is, I mean, part of it is it's a place to for some of these guys to work.
I know.
And I mean, in terms of shutting the doors, it's I mean, I don't know their financial. I mean, they can't be making a lot of money.
I don't think they're making money at all.
And if it's a lot, I mean, it just depends on Sinclair Broadcasting what they want to do with it. If this is the capital loss to offset some of their corporate capital gains, then they stay open. I mean, that's what WCW was for Turner at the beginning. It was this gain offsets this loss for tax purposes, and off they went, right? For a lot of it.
I suppose. And you're looking at it that way. I'm looking at it more from the perspective. I know it's a place for somebody for guys to work, but I do think something else would open up. It always does. But for me, you only run a company if you have hopes of expanding and becoming number two or even number one, but ideally number two. And it's pretty obvious they can never. I think they will never get there. The brand name recognition is if anything damaged at this point. They're just, I mean, you don't run a company hoping to be number three, hoping to be number four.
No.
You just don't, and that's kind of what they're. That's why I think it's just time for them to shut down. It didn't work out, and if they shut down, then maybe somebody else can come in and put a fresh spin and fresh life into. A third promotion, maybe somebody else will open it up, but I don't think anybody will open up to compete with them.
Well, the problem with it is when you're saying, you know, like you own a company or you have a company, do this, and that's again, you get into on a smaller scale a similarity to WCW and Turner, and that the owners of the company, the sure owners of the company, don't really give a shit about wrestling.
No.
So, I mean, to have a company again. That's really what it is. This ROH is part of their corporate. You know, they get to put the programming on. They get to, like I said, maybe offset some of their gains with losses there. So I mean, that's where they fit in right now. And if there's good wrestling on it or a good angle or good promote, I mean, that's just wonderful. It's like when WCW took off. If ROH ever took off, I mean, it's not like Sinclair would be upset about it. But, I mean, if they don't, they don't. And
well, I disagree, because there was a point where – a time where Turner turns to Eric and says, what do you need to beat them? And Eric says a live Monday night show. And he says, okay, and they open up the pocketbook for the live Monday night show. They open up the pocketbook for Hogan, Savage, Hall, Nash, to bring in wrestlers from Japan, bring in wrestlers from Mexico. Like, they went all out. And when they did, they made more money than when they were.
Well, you're right. They were able to spend, which, I mean, but again, it's why it's a much smaller scale and that Sinclair doesn't have that.
Sinclair doesn't have that, so there's no point in them. Like I said, I just think it's time for – I think nobody will open up and give us a something that has a chance as long as ROH exists, and ROH doesn't have a chance. So I just feel like it's treading water.
It is really treading water, and it's just going to kind of be that you know, I'm trying –
And they can even have good – they can even have a good product on you know, going on pay-per-view or whatever. It doesn't matter. There's just – You know, ROH's best days were the CCW interpromotional feud.
Yeah, well, I mean, essentially ROH is ECW.
Not even.
You know, and it's...
Well, I guess it's pretty close because wrestling isn't as big either.
Well, that's what I mean. When you compare it's number three in a number three land, and ECW eventually just, you know, just ran out and ran out of money, ran out of everything, and closed its doors. And so, I mean, I think ROH eventually will close its doors. I just don't know that time in the next, you know, I could see it doing it. If it stays like this, I bet you got another 3 years of ROH.
Okay.
But, you know, because it does take some time for all that stuff to shake
out, right?
Well,
when you say that we have three more years, there's going to come a point where, I mean, who's left? I mean, they haven't made any new big stars, even at the level of a Daniel Bryan or Samoa Joe or anyone like that for a while. Their biggest stars are arguably, what, the Briscoe brothers? Will they be there forever?
Yep.
I mean, unless they have one or two guys step up who – and it's not even about guys who are good wrestlers. It's about guys who come across as stars, even on their level. They're not even seem to me to be creating those the same level. I mean, right now they're strapping the rocket to Jay Lethal. I think Jay Lethal's awesome. But you put Jay Lethal, Kevin Steen's pretty awesome. Briscoes are awesome. You know, Davey Richards is or isn't going to retire every other week. Unless they can kind of step that up.
Well, I mean, they got a lot of good. The talent is there, but the
but there's a difference between again, good wrestling and good and big and star wrestlers.
Well, that but I mean, if there's a star wrestler, I don't see a star wrestler coming to ROH. I guess is
no.
Is
I'm not saying somebody's not coming. They have to have somebody. They have to have somebody emerge.
Well, yes, and that's. I mean, they tried that with that Adam Cole, and it's just. I mean, but part of it too is it's a. I don't want to say a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it's just a circle effect in that. You know, they're not big enough to create stars, so they can't create stars to get big enough, right? It's just a paradox.
Yeah, and the other thing is, when you do create a star, how long do you get them to stay?
Well, that's right.
I mean, ECW was able to create stars on their level, and guys who went on to become stars in bigger markets once ECW closed the stores, like RVD. That said, ROH hasn't created an RVD. Their entire hasn't created an RVD. Even, you know, Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson at his out of his height or anything like that was not RVD.
Well, yeah, I mean, probably in comparison, he was, you know, in terms of, you know, again, they had CM Punk. For the size of the crowds, it's just a matter of the longevity that people were actually sticking around, right?
I suppose, but RVD when he was in ECW, Taz when he was in ECW, the Dudley Boys were in ECW, were bigger stars than I'd say CM Punk or Daniel Bryan or the Briscoe Brothers have been in ROH. And part of that is because they did eventually – I mean, they did have more pay-per-view buys than ROH did. They did have more – Wrestling was hotter.
Well, the last it was hotter, I mean, freaking –
ratings were higher. They did have a national product.
ECW's first pay-per-view did, you know, better than the best TNA pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's one of those, like, sort of, yeah, like you said, it was just wrestling was hotter, landscape was different, you know, just different, right? Yeah.
But, I mean, I just mean that those guys were – there was definitely – there was a lot of guys who I think the feeling was – in ECW, that if they got a chance at the national stage, they got a chance in WWE or TNA, they could become big stars. And I think there was that feeling 6 years ago in ROH that there's a lot of guys there that if they get the shot, they can become big stars. And I don't feel like that's there right now. And I think that's kind of what I feel is missing.
Yeah. Well, and then that's probably fair. But I don't know that that's going that's really going to change. Like I honestly can't see.
Well, it was
changing.
Once though. I mean, there once was a point where they had guys like Low Key and Samoa Joe and Austin Aries and CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and all these guys where I went, these guys, if the WWE or TNA ever give them a chance to strap the rocket to them, they could do great. They're that talented. There was so many of them. Whereas that's not the feeling anymore. Like, I don't look at Davey Richards and I think he's a great wrestler. But he might be a good X Division champion, and that's it. Like, he's not, you know.
Well, no, I mean, and I, even guys, I mean, Jay Lethal had his cup of coffee at his TNA run or whatever, right? I mean, like, Haas and Benjamin, and you just, I don't know, these guys, you know, it's all, I don't want to say retreads, but Rhino is in there now. I mean, Roderick Strong has been with WCW, or WCW TNA.
Same thing.
You know, so. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah it's a decent kind of promotion, but, yeah, I don't, you know.
Well, at least they do give us good wrestling.
They do, but I still think
that the psychology of a lot of their matches is off for me, but it's generally good wrestling.
But when you say close the door, again, it's just, to me, it's if anything, it's kind of just been demoted to an indie.
Yeah, it really has. It really has.
You know. And so, I mean, like, your CZWs still run, and your, you know, all, you know, pro wrestling gorillas and things like that.
Evolve is around. Dragon Gate USA is around.
Chikara, all those things. So there still are wrestlers that are wrestling promotions that run, and ROH, you know, can basically, to me, be the same as that.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, they're cut back. They cut back to one WrestleMania show this coming this year.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I mean, when they were going with Sinclair, we were excited because the hope was there. Hey, maybe these guys can become number two. Maybe these guys can challenge TNA and give us a better product, you know, than TNA and become number two because TNA has never firmly established that slot. But since that's not going to happen, All right. I think we're done with this, aren't we?
Oh,
we're
yeah.
20
yeah,
minutes
yeah.
on freaking Japan and ROH.
And ROH to open the show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
this week, I'm like, let's not do a super long show. Fuck, when we waste all that time on that. All right, that's it. Fuck Raw. We're done. 20-minute show.
Yeah. Fuck Raw. 20 minutes. There you go. Just to get warmed up. Jesus. Speaking of 20 minutes just to get warmed up, I'll throw this little news bit in. Did you hear who Flair is dating now? Ric Flair?
No, of course not. No.
Oh, it's Ric Flair's new girlfriend, known to longtime wrestling fans.
Heather Clamp.
As Fifi the Maid.
Fifi the Maid?
Remember Fifi on a Flair for the Gold?
Holy shit.
Yes. Ric Flair is dating Fifi.
Ric Flair's not currently married?
No, apparently not. Come on. Remember last time when he went to the first time he went to the Hall of Fame, he was married, and then the second time when he went with the Horsemen, he told that story about going down drinking with John Cena and shut off his cell phone and never heard from her again.
He's dating Fifi, so his future ex-wife.
His future ex-wife
will he sign a prenup? No.
No. Will you sign my prenup?
He's got nothing left to take.
That's true. Well, he's got that energy drink money.
Oh, yeah. Because
that's who needed an energy drink was Ric Flair.
Yeah, no shit. All right. Let's get on to some actual...
Yeah, so Raw.
Yeah.
We got the end of Raw, I guess, is the big important part of Raw, is that it is going to be Ryback Acne against CM Punk. Hell in a Cell. As your main event of next week's pay-per-view. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, with John Cena, it would have done between 110 and 120,000 domestic. And with Ryback, it's going to do between 110 and 120,000 domestic. It will be a slightly different crowd buying. There'll be some people who will buy because Ryback and some people that lose because of Cena. But, I mean, that's curiosity for Ryback not being into him. And that's Cena being, you know, Cena being a draw, but not a huge draw, unless he has the right opponent.
Curiosity killed Ernest Miller.
Yeah, it really did. It really did. Yeah. And Ice Train. Wasn't he also known as the Big Cat? Or was that Mr. Hughes?
That was Mr. Hughes,
Big Cat. Yeah. I mean, other than that, as far as a match, it probably goes 10 minutes. I don't know if we'd see any blood or whatever. I think Punk sells for him the entire time, then flukes out a win somehow. I know how I book it. Do you have an idea how you book it?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, because that's sort of as far as just a couple of days ago, the creative team was in a bit of a quandary, as it were, because they didn't want Punk to lose, and they didn't want Ryback to, or they didn't want Punk to lose the title, and they didn't want Ryback to lose the match. And of course, it's Hell in the Cell, no DQ, no disqualification.
It's the worst possible place. It's not a regular Hell in the Cell match where a person can fluke out, get like James Storm and Bobby Roode, get his feet touching the floor first. It's not, you know, it's not. But okay, this is how I do it. I'll say it to you. Do you remember the Undertaker versus Yokozuna Royal Rumble?
Yes, I do. Yeah, where there thousands of people came down to most still alive.
Most still alive? You sure about that?
No, actually, now that I say that, I'm picturing Bam Bam Bigelow and Crush. But
but that's what I do. At the time, they didn't want to take the belt off Yokozuna, but they didn't want Undertaker to lose. So they literally had like 10, 12 people beat on The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels, everybody but Diesel, I think, was out there.
Jeff Jarrett was out there.
Everybody came out, and it was just because they hated him so much. You know, and not, it was out of a hatred for Undertaker and a fear that if Undertaker got the belt, nobody would ever beat him for it.
You know what? I'm liking this idea because you know where I could see this going? It's SummerSlam, Ryback versus Ryback.
Do you really think they'll be able to get Goldberg back?
That'd be excellent.
But but that was the plan, was everybody was. And so I think you do the same thing. I think if you do, everybody comes out and you get the cage up and you just have like 8 people, 10 people run out. And yeah. It's because everybody is doesn't want him to have the belt because they're afraid of him. And you don't. And because everybody's jealous of him and nobody really, none of the good guys, so to speak, the baby faces come out. For that same reason, they didn't really come out for Undertaker. We kept on going, why? And that was why, because they didn't want him. Just be explained that nobody wanted to save him because everybody's jealous and he hasn't made any friends, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Well, I think that way he actually becomes a bigger star in losing. But it keeps the belt off. It keeps the belt off of him, keeps Punk with the belt, and it gives him some other feuds to go to clean up before he gets another shot so you don't have to worry about it for a while.
That's true. Yeah, I know, because you could be... Oh, I like that. I do actually. I think that, I could see it might be a little
like
early.
One guy who's a leader for, you know.
Well, yeah, like Adolph Ziggler, yeah. Right? To do that, but I definitely could. Well, actually, I don't know. The guy that should actually be leading it is Wade Barrett, but I don't like the idea of Wade Barrett versus Ryback.
No, because I don't want Wade Barrett to lose.
No, exactly, right? So,
but I do really think that this, I mean, this. I just think this Ryback thing's not going to last long anyway, so.
Yeah. Or, you know what, leaders to come out to lead this brigade are the 3MB, baby.
They really need to change that on Raw. They played the music and it's still, I'm a one-man band.
I'm just one man. Yeah, they did that on SmackDown, too, except for on SmackDown. Now they all have, like, leather. What's his name? Heath Slater comes out looking like Slash with red hair.
Oh, nice.
And Drew McIntyre has a bandana looking like Axl Rose.
Yeah, he actually looks like he could be an 80s rocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need a glam metal song.
Jinder Mahal is wearing a turban.
Of course, that's fucking awesome.
Fuck.
he has to wear it for his religious. He's not allowed to ever take it off, right?
That's right. Didn't he do that when he first came in? He put in that box.
Shut up! That never happened.
That never happened. Did he really?
Of course he takes it off to wrestle. So that's what makes it even more funny.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to think of, because it was, you know, you probably don't want to just put that icy cold drink right by the microphone every time you drink.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I know. I figured you did. Oh, yeah.
We're on Skype, folks.
We are. But it's, I'm just trying to think of, was it Drew McIntyre? He actually has an 80s voice, though. Like, he screeches. He screeches out like a, yeah, that was great. They're becoming my new favorite act.
Yeah, they're great. I'd like to see them against Three Count.
That would be who were on Are You Serious this week.
Oh, really?
Because they made fun of Three Count, as they have the fucking three-man band.
Yeah. I think the three-man band is self-aware that they're, you know.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Three Count was, too.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. Well, I don't think Evan Courageous was.
Well, that's true. I don't think Evan Courageous was aware of anything.
No. I'm a star.
Yeah. I'm a superstar.
All right.
But no, I think that that would be a good way to book Ryback. Is that? I mean, it also being the fact that it's the cage. Like you said, raise the cage. Yeah, just bash through the door. Have someone bang through the door. Sure. I mean, who?
I mean, I don't know if there's anybody who's injured who's ready to come back. I don't know if you have a Mark Henry or a –
Well, that's kind of who I was thinking, actually, was Mark Henry.
The thing about Mark Henry is if you have him just come back just to do that, but then don't have him come around for a while, and you can actually hide him in that. All he comes around is basically to open the door and do this, and then he's the leader, and it takes a while to get to him, gives him a little longer to
reestablish himself.
To get it back from his injury. I would think people, if they build it like that, that it's the months in the advance, Ryback versus is working through the Nation of Domination to get to Mark Henry at WrestleMania. I think people would be into a Ryback versus the World's Strongest Man versus the Big Hungry. character of Ryback, though.
The World's Hungriest Man against the World's Strongest Man.
That's right. But I think that people would look at it and go, oh, Mark Henry, he's the World's Strongest Man. Whoa, Ryback's actually stronger. Like, the Marks would think that.
Now, do you think that, yeah, that's true. Now, do you think that if it is the 3MB, though, that take the fall at first, do you think the Big Hungry will go after Heath Slater first, thinking of Wendy's?
I would think so. Yeah. What I like is that this is including, it's added in, the one guy. But this is actually the tag team that you made the joke of a year ago, Jinder Mahal.
Yes, that's right, Jinder Mahal. They just added Drew McIntyre.
He just added it.
Now they need
Scottish guy.
They need another guy, though. They need to add, just put in, a veteran, because these are all young guys. Just put in, Barry Horowitz, because then you could have two tag teams. You could have Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good stuff. So. There you go.
Worldwide leader in sports entertainment.
Drew McIntyre, being a Scottish guy, could be have Roddy Piper as his manager and have it work.
No.
Okay.
No, but I don't know. Drew McIntyre, he can screech one out, apparently. I think that's where they found these guys, is because Heath Slater can cut a promo.
Yes.
As goofy as he cuts, and then the other two can just do their little one line deals.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's DX. And it works. Yeah, exactly. If you're not down with
exactly.
Shawn Michaels and Billy Gunn.
Yeah, Billy
right?
Gunn's like, this is my only line. This is, I don't get to speak. This is the only. They don't let me say anything.
He didn't give me much, but I'm good at this.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of people that could bash through the cage, if they did want to turn him heel, it could be essentially Brodus Clay could come in, because he's probably not strong enough to rip down the cage door, but what he probably could do is throw the doghouse that he's in at the cage, and that would bust open the door.
Yeah, why is he in the doghouse?
I don't know. The honeymoon is over with Brodus Clay.
I know
Clay.
That. He's losing Who was it he lost to in 30 seconds? By armbar. Alberto Del Rio.
Del Rio, and he also lost to Heath Slater.
Where?
On SmackDown.
No shit.
Yes, and via clean, whatever it was, the DDT that he does, that Heath Slater does. So
clean.
Yeah, it was
not with
clean.
The other guys.
And all they got was
this is where Brodus Clay should be.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and all he's getting now is the he's getting the Funk is on a roll. Somebody call my mama. He's not getting the big entrance. You know, ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't get that. He just gets his music plays and he comes and him and the chicks come out. So, but it does appear from him losing. I don't know if they're going to go with this at all or if this is even, but the chicks look pissed that he's losing.
Oh, okay.
What makes me wonder is that the announcers haven't picked up on it yet. So, usually they do it a couple times.
They just have a boo-boo face because they know that they're not going to have their act, this act much longer.
Well, the one of them has a boo-boo face. The other one has a booze face. Because she ain't got much. If there's no Brodus Clay, then she's toast with that.
No, I don't think that's the case. Because she's fuckable.
That's true. Speaking of booze, I saw Alex Riley on NXT.
No shit.
Losing to Jinder Mahal. He was. I thought he was hurt or whatever, but there he was. So
just his feelings.
He's back. Yes. His feeling.
All right. What else you got?
But yeah, well, I'm just gonna look. We talked a little bit. I think it was even just in one of our audio commentaries was Renee Paquette hired by WWE.
Oh yeah, the French Stallion.
No, the chick that hosted.
Hosted the score. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just talked about fuckable, so I mentioned that. You have seen this, the Steve Austin CM Punk hype for the video game.
That was the greatest thing ever. But that I actually watched that before Raw, and I told you you had to see it.
Yes. And it is great.
It is when that is over. And that just shows you how to do it. That shows what wrestling is usually not getting nowadays. It doesn't need to be a bunch of bullshit. When that is over, it's just one guy sitting there saying, if theoretically, because we're just talking video games.
But if
theoretically I faced you, well, I'd kick your ass. And the other guy saying, well, theoretically, if I was in your era, I actually would be just as good or even better than I am now. And just when it's over, it's just two guys who shake hands, and you know they're shaking hands because they have to, but they hate each other. And you just go, fuck, I want to see them fight. It's so simple, but so good.
It is.
So goddamn good. Like, wanted to see that match. I would have paid to see that match when that's over. So bad.
And it was just, everything that, Austin and Punk getting their digs in.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, this was Punk. This was filmed back in SummerSlam when Punk was still a babyface. So, if anything, the dickwad here, the why he got more aggressive, dickish guy, was Austin.
Well, yes, but also at SummerSlam, Punk was turning, right?
Yeah.
So, the thing that was notable to me is Punk had the belt strapped around him there. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's filmed in SummerSlam. So, and this just coming out now for the video game launch. So, they at the very least, and I mean, I think
it's
always
drink.
Good.
You gonna like this? How's this gonna?
Well, it's, all right, here. Let's see. Go right. There's the ice. There's the ice. Go. But I think that the Uncola.
Anyways, you're saying this was the
plan, at least, was for Punk, of course, to keep the title, and that's kind of, I don't want to say it handcuffed him, but if they were ever going to let this out, I mean, they just kind of had to do it. But they're not going to be doing anything at WrestleMania. I mean, that's Austin had his knee surgery and isn't going to be ready to go. So, WrestleMania is,
So he has knee surgery in October, and he's not ready for 6 months down the road?
Apparently. I don't know. I don't know what kind of knee surgery it was. I have no idea.
I think that match is going to happen in Mania.
I don't. I mean, I
you again, don't do this without intention to have that match.
No. You don't do this without intention to having a match. Okay, this is WWE. Okay. This is someone with
Austin and Rock don't do. Austin and Punk don't do this without intention to have that match.
Austin and Punk do what they're told to get a better video game royalty. Yes, they do. Match ain't happening. I fully expect that the match has to happen.
It has.
If Austin is going to match, then CM Punk. But I just don't. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be. To me, why not SummerSlam it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a Mania match. And it doesn't sound like. I mean, the whole reason is someone in October and then 6 months later, they're not. He's not ready. I mean, 6 months later, Steve Austin maybe recovered from knee surgery to be, normal guy Steve Austin. But I think in terms of ring shape and all that, I don't know that he's got. He feels, at least, that he's got 6 months to do it in.
Okay, but if he one more year, you're one more year older. He's what, 46?
That's what I said. I'm saying SummerSlam. 6 months, maybe not. 9 months, maybe, right? I mean, 9 or 10 months. I mean, to put it into August, right? And do it at SummerSlam. Why not? Yeah.
No, it's fine. You can do it at SummerSlam. You can do it at SummerSlam. So
I don't think that from a logical perspective, I don't know if that, if that'll actually.
In fact, in some ways, considering how little you need this.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
To do it at SummerSlam. But then again, I mean, I look at SummerSlam, and I think, what you can do 1.1 million, and if you add that in, I don't think you're still doing 1.1. I think you're doing 1.5.
You mean at WrestleMania?
Sorry, WrestleMania. Yeah.
And you don't think you do 400,000 for, or 400,000 more, obviously, for SummerSlam. Yeah. No, and I mean, but, you know, with The Rock, Brock boosted Survivor Series last year, not to, to monumental levels or anything.
But imagine if they had done it well.
Well, that's just it, and I think that this would be, I mean, there's your post.
My Twitter followers told me to team with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Your Twitter followers that all hate this guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking said that. Fucking idiots.
Your followers are cocks. And it's weird that the person that wrote that got fired.
Yeah.
New. But I think to me that can be your CM Punk come in after WrestleMania or whatever to gloat or to talk about, you know, whatever. And the glass shatters and you can start it then.
Yeah, that's true. Though the longer, I mean, part of the what that made that that WrestleMania, what made the WrestleMania video game, I guess it's WWE 13 video game promo there between them so intriguing, was Austin saying the only reason you still have that is because I haven't walked in and snapped my fingers and took it from you. And there was a lot of talk about him beating him for the belt, a lot of talk about Punk having the belt and saying, I know you're eyeing this. I can see it in your eyes that you still want this.
Yeah.
And so if it's not for the belt, it does lose something.
That's very true. So maybe you wait until Punk gets it back. Yeah. You know,
because there's almost no doubt that he's going to keep it until he loses it to Rock.
He loses it to Rock at Rumble. Rock will lose it to Cena at WrestleMania. And then Cena can lose it to Punk.
No, I don't want to see Cena and Punk ever wrestle again. So Cena loses it to somebody else, and Punk takes it. Please, somebody else.
Not if you're going to do it for SummerSlam,
I suppose.
You do. You have to do something. You will. You'll have to go Cena then to Punk, right? I mean, unless there's. Well, I guess Dolph Ziggler can't cash it in, so he has to cash in to the SmackDown champion. So that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, but they haven't mentioned that in months. So I suspect that if they change their mind, they'll just do it the other way.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean that is.
They don't give a fuck.
Well, I mean, Ziggler did say he was going to cash in on either the Sheamus or the Big Show after Hell in the Cell, which of course means he's not.
Yeah, well, I think it's trying to tell people you're going to see a new champion. I think he's not as well. I think it's also the thought that match is going to be brutal because it's also Hell in the Cell, right?
I believe so. Hell in the Cell matches. I believe it's the two Hell in the Cells. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But we were just talking a little bit about WrestleMania. One little quick note is that the survey that does group that compiles the economic impact of WrestleMania come out with their WrestleMania 28 brought in $102 million to the city of Miami. WrestleMania did, according to that survey, which was up, I think, from $60 million or something the year before.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know, and just imagine in the prices in New York, what's gonna what it's gonna do for WrestleMania 29.
So we're never getting one here in Calgary.
No, we are never getting one.
I had a dream that we were having one here, and that Bret Hart came out of retirement and won the belt at it. Yeah, but that you and I were at the show. And this was like this week I had this dream, now that you mentioned it. But you and I were at the show and we were bitching because it was the WrestleMania with the least production value since like WrestleMania 10. They just went like all the way. They were just like, yeah, it's only WrestleMania Calgary. It's not going to make as much money. So they like didn't have like any like. And we're like, and they held at the Sal Dome for like 17,000.
Oh, was it the Dome?
Yeah, in my dream. And you and I were just really, really pissed. It's like, yeah.
Well, see,
the Bret Hart match for like 5 minutes.
if they're going to hold a big pay-per-view event in Calgary, there's only one place to hold it.
Yeah, they should hold the SummerSlam.
There would have to be a SummerSlam, right? It'd have to be an outdoor show.
Yeah, because they have a stadium here called McMahon Stadium.
McMahon Stadium. That's got to be where it's the home of the CFL's Calgary Stampeders. Speaking of CFL players.
It will hold
about
50,000 people for a wrestling event.
It would, yeah.
50 to 55,000, they could do it there. Maybe not a SummerSlam, but hell, you could do anything there if you're doing it at McMahon Stadium, you promote it right, and sell 50 to 55,000.
That's true. Maybe not a donkey show.
No. Well, if TNA came, no. That is a donkey show.
That's true. That's true. Well, Jeff Jarrett's an ass. But I think that I was looking at books the other day. I wasn't looking at books because, well, I don't read. But someone is writing a book. A former Attitude Era star.
Brian Christopher?
Is writing a book. No, even better
not
than Brian
as big
Christopher.
As him.
Oh, somebody's big. Somebody's a big shot.
Huh?
Bob Sparkplug Holly is writing a book.
Oh, my God.
I'm assuming it's going to be a book on tape.
I would think so. I would think so. How much do you charge for a book written completely in crayon?
I don't know. How far do you have to fall? It's like, who doesn't have a book? Bob Holly.
But you watched his shoot promo, and you said it was pretty funny. That he was just like, he just spent the whole time cursing and talking about people he'd like to beat up.
Oh, yeah, I just watched that one little YouTube clip. It was like a 5-minute clip of him. Like, they're like tougher than or something, or give him the boots to or something. I forget what to say. Yeah, that's all he did was curse and swear. He was pretty funny, but I mean, I don't give a fuck about what he thinks.
No, God, no. It's a book. But what's great about it is, in order to promote the book, he's going to have to go on all the shows to try and tell people to try and promote it. And that's going to create some great interviews.
Yes, I need to hear Brian Alvarez interview Bob Holly.
Yeah, that'll be fucking great.
And John Pollock will interview Bob Holly.
That won't be great.
Oh, I will not, no. Speaking of not great, Bound for Glory. Remember we talked about Bound for Glory about a month ago or so now, maybe 3 weeks ago now that we talked about Bound for Glory. Going to be available in the theaters.
Yeah.
So you can watch on giant screen closed circuit television in the theaters. They actually had about 100 theaters.
100. That's pretty good.
In the United States.
Major markets.
Major markets that held this pay-per-view. 500 to 1,000 people total watched this pay-per-view in the theater.
It's funny because I remember listening to Howard Stern, the interview with Hulk Hogan, because he was there to promote, this was right before Bound for Glory, and he was there to promote the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, and Stern's like, this pay-per-view is going to be huge for you, isn't it? I mean, coming off all this sex tape stuff, you're in the news so much, you're going to make so much money on this. And Hogan just kind of went, that's what he said.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's okay. No real news.
I don't think it added one by the fact that he had a sex tape out there.
No. Daniel Tosh made fun of it, which is hilarious.
What'd he say?
But we just dressed up like Hulk Hogan. Wrestled an apartment stripper.
So I gotta talk a little bit about this actually. Because
about the sex
tape? Yeah. Well, about Hogan and Bubba.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Hogan is on the level of a 10 as far as being a douche. Is what, about 7.5?
Who? What, a 10? Hogan? Probably about an 8.
Okay. And Bubba's a 10 or 11?
Yeah. Sorry, say about an 11.
There is no point in my... Yeah. There is no point in my life where I have ever felt sorry for Hulk Hogan in modern era, I'll say. When I was a kid and I was young or whatever, that doesn't count. When he gets screwed by the two Hebners. I mean, I'm a kid, right? So,
right.
You know.
That's a different sex tape, him getting screwed by the two Hebners.
That one, yeah, completely different. Hogan has this horrible divorce. His son is in a car accident, badly injures somebody, and goes to jail.
No, his son crashed a car for being retarded. Yeah. His son's not in a car accident.
Well, but he goes to jail, was the key part. A family friend or a friend of his son is badly injured due to his son's stupidity, speeding, yes, perhaps alcohol involved. He ends up in jail. Hogan suffers a horrible divorce, loses all his money. Hogan now has a sex tape. He's had some really, really bad things happen to him. I cannot feel sorry for him, though. It is just impossible to feel sorry for Hulk Hogan for all this. In fact, if it's anything, it makes me feel that the whole thing that I've always said, what goes around comes around, there's karma in this world. And this,
is she pregnant again?
Yeah, well, she might punch up Bubba again. This is karma punching him and her and Hogan out again. I mean, I don't know if he really did set this up or what the case is, or all I know is that there's no being. I think it's impossible for me to feel sorry for Hulk Hogan. How about you?
Oh fuck no! I'm pretty sure they're in on it together. This whole thing's an elaborate work between the two of them. And
but is there anything that could make you feel sorry for Hulk Hogan? Anything?
No. No. Because, I mean, at this point, I mean, you talked about some of his track record but his son does this and that. But, I mean, then look at him going in, look at the audio tapes of him visiting his son.
Yeah, no shit.
Let's go all the way back to Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, exactly.
Hulk Hogan's just a moron. And, there's a reason we did the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
Yes, segment last year,
We didn't get away from it because we ran out of material.
Yeah, we just got away from it because we want to keep it fresh, and we got lazy.
We got lazy, and the fact is that there's just so much.
Yeah.
It didn't get any, it got a little bit repetitive and redundant because it's Hogan. And that's just it. And there's nothing that, I can't think of anything that would make me feel sorry for Hulk Hogan.
No, and that's it. And so I look at this, I go, okay, great. You got a sex tape. Next. I mean, it's big. It's huge news. I mean, it's front page news in the New York Post and everything.
Well, I didn't see it.
But I haven't watched it. Fuck no.
Oh, you said it's big.
Oh. Big news.
Oh, big news.
It's big news.
Brother.
Fucking hilarious because Howard Stern's sitting there going, I don't think this is such a bad thing. I mean, if I had a sex tape, nobody would say to me, wow, your cock is so big. I mean, you should be proud, man.
God.
Fuck.
That's enough about the sex tape. Something that you may enjoy, another news bit, you may enjoy on more than just this show. Perhaps on another show called We Talk Comics. There's apparently, and you would know better than I would, an X-Men versus Avengers hardcover series or something.
It was a 12-issue miniseries. It was a big, big, big seller, and yeah, they have some hardcover comic book coming out, trade paperback coming out for it.
Okay. Well, the introduction to that hardcover thing is going to be written by CM Punk.
That doesn't surprise me. There's a lot of guys in comic books who are big or in wrestling who are big comic book fans, and Punk is among them. So it doesn't surprise me. It's kind
of
cool.
No, it's Punk and Kazarian and Daniels, obviously. You think of, RVD had five stars.
RVD,
comics,
Booker
right?
T, Samoa Joe, Al Snow. I'm sure there's a lot of other ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Al Snow doesn't really surprise me. I'm just trying to get to maybe we could talk about a little bit about Mike Graham right now, because I don't want to end on such a downer note. Yeah. But Mike Graham, 61 years old, I believe, suicide, gunshot to the head is what killed Mike Graham.
Now, tell everybody a little bit more about who Mike Graham was.
Mike Graham's son of Eddie Graham. The famous Florida wrestler and promoter, was also a wrestler, worked behind the scenes. Quite frankly, I always considered Mike Graham one of the biggest idiots I've ever heard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This guy never had anything. he was sort of a, he was one of those old school Florida guys that even when you're around in the late 90s or the early 2000s, it's the time it sort of passed him by. He was a Kevin Sullivan, you know, loyalist, I guess, is the best way to put it. You know, it, because of that, just that area and that where he came up and grew up with. He was largely a lightweight tag team wrestler himself. He never really got to, you know, to ascend much. But, I mean, things like, you know, Benoit was going to leave and they were going to give him the title and he was going to leave anyway and he threatened to kick the shit out of Benoit.
Yes.
And it was
that was going to happen.
That would have worked out well for you. Yeah. That would have worked out well for you. But
yeah, that's it. And didn't he did have some booking power and such like that, like you say, within WCW, right? Was he there with them or?
Yeah, he was on that. I think he was on that committee when they were doing the wonderful stuff with like the Wall and Al Green was the dog, you know, right after Russo left, and they come with a bunch of bullshit that was even worse than Russo came
up. I mean, Russo, you can't improve upon Russo.
Yeah, with exactly. Hulk Hogan against the Wall, and we'll do the cat versus the dog.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, get it, cat and dog. Oh, yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. Fuck, but no, and he did a few of the Legends roundtables. Like he was on the first panel.
Did he induct his father into the WWE Hall of Fame?
No, he accepted on behalf.
He accepted on behalf of his father.
Brought out a picture of the old NWA board of director, or you know, the old NWA contingent is what he brought. And he brought this picture up on stage in a fucking theater where, you know, oh, look at this picture. And, like, nobody could fucking see the picture. It was idiot. And, I mean, he was pointing out the fact that, like, Vince McMahon Sr. was in the picture.
Not to speak really ill of the dead.
Well, the guy just said, I mean, the real tragedy here is, again, died gunshot to the head, self-inflicted gunshot to the head. That is how his father died, and that is how his son died.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, that's
didn't he die the same age as his father?
It's possible, actually, yeah. I mean, it's getting Von Erich-y, you know, is really what it is. And it's that's the kind of... I don't want to say that's the tragic part, because obviously it's like, not to speak ill of the dead, but I mean, the fact is that he's, just because he was an idiot doesn't mean he's, you know, me and you're alive. It's just something that...
You're not going to be when I see you next week. You're not going to be when I see you next week.
That's true. That's true.
Fucking tool.
But I just think that he, like I said, that to me is three suicides in one family. I mean, just imagine the relatives that have to go through that.
And all of them was just like such a graphic, terrible way to live, to die. And also a way where if you fail to kill yourself doing that, it's even more tragic in many ways. So, yeah. So that's awful.
That is awful, and then that's so. I mean, that's Mike Grandma said. You know, Florida wrestling. I believe he sold the Florida wrestling tape library to Vince. I think that's how he actually got onto those roundtables and such. Is that he sold the library around the time they started that video on?
I don't recall him on any of these roundtables. I've seen a few of them. I'm sure I've seen them with him. Did he at all seem knowledgeable in these? Do you recall?
No, I didn't know Mike Graham to be knowledgeable really about anything. Okay. So it was just a situation where he was there really because he'd sold the tape library to him, and starting up the Classics on Demand gave him that footage. That's about it. I mean, I'm sure Mike Graham was knowledgeable about the history of the area because he lived through it. You know, the same, you know, when we did that tag team game and I could rattle off all the tag teams from the 80s because I lived through it. So I'm sure Mike Graham would have been able to, was there to be able to do that.
Okay.
Right.
But, so what else have we got to talk about?
Well, Rey Mysterio, still sick. So they didn't do the match on Raw because he was just really, really sick.
You thought he might be. You sent me a text. You thought he might be sick from a wellness policy.
I think it's 60-day sickness, but he's already had that. So I mean, he'd be fired, right? Yeah.
And I said I don't think so. I figured he was actually legitimately sick.
And apparently he couldn't even get out of bed. He was throwing up and there's some sort of stomach virus. Didn't go on the Egyptian tour that they had. I mean, if your stomach is bothering you, then you don't fly all that way over
there.
No,
hell no.
So they still haven't done the match yet. They have to do it on Raw, presumably, or save it for, if they can save it for one more day, maybe do that on the main event show.
Depends. I mean, if he was this sick, he might not even be ready for... Because the thing is, he has to carry the match, because Sin Cara can't.
Well, no, that's right. I mean, ultimately, they're going to... I mean, they're not going to win, right? So, because it is going to be the Rhodes Scholars against Team Hell No, right?
I suppose.
I mean, it's just one of those things that, again, in a tag team match, he can be hidden, Well, I mean, look at the, if he's really not going to be able to go to me, you do it like you do on the main event. And then, I mean, I can think of one other tag team match that was 2-on-1 that had some pretty big significance in the history of the World Wrestling Federation company. And, they managed to get around that when with Hart Foundation won the tag team titles from the British Bulldogs, right? It can be done. And
I remember, I can't remember what event it was. It might have been even a Survivor Series where I think it was the Power and Glory attack. The Rockers and Shawn Michaels is carried out of the ring before the match even happens so that Marty Jannetty fights them 2-on-1, that type of thing. Like, yeah, there's ways around it.
There are, and it's just a matter of, like I said, it's not like he has to be well to fight now and on the pay-per-view. I mean, there was talk about the primetime players against Rey and Sin Cara on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's enough time, so he'll be ready. Let's talk about Team Hell No. What happened with them on SmackDown? Because on Raw, basically, I mean, it was Daniel Bryan against Big Show, and when it came time for Big Show, going to do a post-match beatdown, Kane surprisingly made the save for his partner, stood up to Big Show, and Big Show walked out. Did they follow up with that on SmackDown?
Well, they did. And just quickly, I think that when we talk about maybe Ray leading to that, is the primetime players could beat down Ray on the way to the ring, and then Sin Cara could just go in on a 2-on-1 lead
to that. You could do that. Yeah,
right?
That's a good way to do it.
They're involving the Big Show with Kane and Daniel Bryan more. I mean, Team Hell No came down, and Kane's being funny, and he's being comedy Kane, and Big Show is talking about how he couldn't beat some or could never lose to someone that has the face of a goat or whatever, and it just they did continue, I guess, that. But it was more of the same, basically. Team Hell No argues, but they've got each other's backs, right? They're the brothers that argue, essentially, right?
Yeah, I kind of liked it. I kind of liked that when Kane came out to save him, I thought, it's like, okay, I don't like you, or I don't want you to know I like you, but I actually do.
Well, I can make fun of you, but if anybody else does, hey, that's my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just, to me, it was logical, because, I mean, I've been in situations like that, you know?
Yeah, well, no, exactly. I mean, when I stand up for you when people make fun of
no, you don't. No, you don't. But you know what? Honest to God, yeah. I'm going to sit there. You and I go for dinner. We're at a bar or something like that. We're having beers. I'm going to be insulting the shit out of you. But if some guy down the bar started saying something about you, I wouldn't fucking handle it.
Well, no, that's right. That's, yeah.
So, I don't know. It just made sense to me. I was like, okay, I like this. Because I also liked the idea that I don't think Kane knew that he felt this way or would do this either until the moment it happened.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So
all of a sudden, this team that looks like it's going to break up any time might not. To me, this is how you can keep them together for a while, too.
Well, exactly. That's and keep the titles you know, with them for a while, which, because, I mean, as much as they have tag teams now, they still need time to get those tag teams kind of going.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Though, I mean, when I talk about good things WWE is doing, I mean, obviously the tag team division is 4 months foremost for me. And the long-term booking with Punk and Cena and Rock is a good thing. What they've done with Sheamus is a good thing. You know? Like, they are doing a lot of good things. While I'm sitting here, and we are kind of in that no man's land stretch before Royal Rumble, they are doing a lot of good things. Now let's talk about something that was a good thing until they made a mistake for me. Kofi Kingston and The Miz. Their segment on Miz TV for me, I thought was tremendous. I thought it was really, really good. And I thought the crowd really got behind a sympathetic babyface in Kingston. But the problem is, when this happens and you have the sympathetic babyface, he needs to chase for a long time. And then when that moment happens, it needs to make everybody feel like they're in on it with him. And giving him the belt on the main event right away, his first shot, to me takes away the potential of what they could have done with it.
Yeah, no, I agree and as I said, especially when you say, you know, they don't have a problem doing, you know, Rock and Punk and keeping it, you know, slower build. Now, how much of that is from necessity of Rock just not being around? But, I mean, they don't have a problem with doing a long build that way. And so there shouldn't be a problem with doing it in other things. And, yeah, Kofi, I mean, I understand, yes, you want to get the main event over as something important, so you change the Intercontinental title on it. That part I understand. But, yeah, I just, you know, not this episode of the main event, right?
No, and like I say, I mean, how many times have you seen a guy go after a belt, get it, fail, but you're always cheering for him that next chance because you know he's good enough, and he's just – falls just a little short, he's that underdog, or you know what, or he's getting screwed, and when that moment happens, it means that much more for you. And this is what they needed to do with Kofi. I mean, I know he's a multiple-time champion in the past, but if you just can't beat The Miz, even though everybody knows he's better than The Miz, and you want it that bad, it's like Tommy Dreamer and Raven. He kept on losing to Raven, when he finally beat him, it was a big moment.
Well, I just look at the reign of the Honky Tonk, right? I mean, it didn't matter, like, Bruce the Barber, who anybody, Macho Man, anybody going after the Honky Tonk Man, you know, Honky Tonk was just cheating
Because you kept on
away.
You're like, this guy's better than him, he'll beat him. This guy's better than him, he'll beat him. You're like, Randy Savage is better than him, he'll beat him. Ricky Steamboat's better than him, he'll beat him. Bruce Beefcake.
We'll beat him.
Well, maybe he'll beat him, but he's not better than him.
Well,
but you know, I guess at the time you're thinking that, though. I mean,
when you're 10, you're thinking that,
exactly.
Right? But I mean, that's kind of the thing. I mean, I agree, and I don't know that
they just needed to make Kofi chase, but that segment, I thought, both he and the look on his face as he was being told, "You're just a boom, boom, boom guy. You're never going to reach that level. You're good at what you do, and you'll make the people happy, but you're never."
You put smiles on people's faces.
Yes. I thought Miz was so good, and I thought Kofi's expression, just that expression.
Yes.
Was so good.
And how about that boom? How about that boom, boom, boom?
Boom, boom, boom. Boom.
In the head?
Oh, yeah.
The kick.
I actually was surprised when you telling me that he won the belt. You actually texted me to tell me. Because I assumed he would be out for a while. Because I thought concussion or something for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was crazy because and I mean that was the other thing too.
I mean, Kofi Kingston Merkel crow-cropped him.
Yeah, pretty much. Or Gabriel Gonzaga'd him.
Yeah.
Two crow cops.
Same thing.
But but I just think that that to me again when you talk about slowing things down and having the chase. I mean, here you are with a match on Monday and a match on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, with the same two guys, and it's just
they didn't need the match Monday if they're going to do it Wednesday, or they didn't need like I say, they need to make the chase longer. So that's all. That's my whole thing.
But yeah, we'll see. 2.8 was the rating for Raw.
Solid enough, I suppose.
1.0 for Impact. Right now you got football and baseball.
Impact needs to go to, it doesn't matter, they need to go to Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
Yeah. Same time slot, Wednesdays.
Yeah? What's on Wednesdays?
Well, I suppose the main event is, but who gives a fuck?
Yeah, on ION.
Yeah. Thursdays just doesn't work. The television, the competition is just too strong. Wednesdays will be better for them.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any then on Wednesdays. They also need, I mean, the thing about, you know, there's then been that sort of some fan and Hogan retweeting, you know, you need to get out of the Impact zone or whatever, you know, and it's just, again, it's all about money at this point.
I don't think you need to get out of the Impact zone. I think you need to go Wednesdays. I think that's the biggest thing.
Oh, yeah, I think pay-per-views,
if you have four big pay-per-views on the road a year, that's fine, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
The Impact Zone crowd is usually pretty hot on Thursdays or Wednesdays.
My whole thing, though, is that if you can, I don't know if they're at this point yet, is if you can make money off it. And that would be, to me, is it, you know, the cost of getting the building, securing the building, getting flying talent in, putting them up in hotels.
Well, I don't know what the paid house was for Bound for Glory, but I mean, it seemed to be a good house.
It did, and I don't know what the paid was. And again, and if they made money off that, that'd be interesting to find out. Because again, that's the whole thing is with Impact, nobody pays, right?
That's true. Now I'm thirsty.
All right. Well, delicious. I only have one other thing that I'd watched the Jerry Lawler make his non-televised Memphis. Because SmackDown was in Memphis, so Lawler was there, gave a little bit of a 5-minute speech at the top of the ramp, just thanking everybody, thanking Michael Cole, thanking the doctor, you know, doing the whole thing again, thanking the city of Memphis, because that's, of course, where they were. Looked fine, seemed fine, scratchy voice. He said, you know, other than my scratchy voice, I can't wait to get back to Raw.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know. He said, you know, having a heart attack, I'm feeling about as good as someone can after they've had a heart attack, is basically.
All right. Now, let me know. Now it's time for you to tell me what happened on, if anything important else that happened on SmackDown?
No. Okay.
All right, then. Tell me what happened on Impact.
Nothing.
What?
You missed absolutely.
It's Bound for Glory. It's the Bound for Glory post show. I was expecting.
Yeah, nothing happened. Speaking while we're on TNA, is with the Aces and Eights, it was Luke Gallows and Mike Knox that were in that tag match. Those are the two guys in the tag match.
As we said, we suspected when we were watching.
So it definitely was them. Show opens with D-Von coming out, saying that he's a lieutenant at arms, is what his thing says. He was patched in by the leader. So of course Devon's not the leader, just a member.
Good.
Patched in by the leader. You know, they did a brawl. Hogan said, you know,
did everybody sell for Hogan again? Like he's not a 70-year-old man.
No, Hogan came after. Okay. Hogan was like the godfather where all the wrestlers, you know, chased him off and then Hogan come out. But, and basically said,
did Hogan have a whole train?
I wish I didn't see Brooke or Jennifer, is her name?
Yeah.
Or Heather the Love Sponge.
Heather Clam. He said he was the godfather.
If Hogan wants to say
pimping ain't easy, I would pop.
Yeah. He's got 99 problems, but aces and eights ain't one, brother, or whatever.
Fucking idiot.
But I do think that, Hogan come out, he said, you guys get free reign, brother, so that means I can put you in matches. So, D-Von, tonight you're going to fight Sting.
That makes no sense. Main event.
I know.
You have free reign, so you can do whatever you want, so I can book you in matches.
So now, if you're going to get free reign, brother, you're doing it under my rules, and D-Von, you're going to fight Sting. And he's like, no, I'm not going to fight Sting. All right, I'll fight Sting, basically.
Oh, so D-Von did the job to Sting.
Yes, and the match was be what you would think it would be. You had, next week is Championship Thursday. So Hogan was backstage talking to Mr. Anderson, saying that there's going to be a few guys for that Hogan has to choose from to fight Jeff Hardy at Championship Thursday in his first match. And Mr. Anderson, well, James Storm, because he won at Bound for Glory, James Storm, he's in. He's one of the guys I'm going to try to pick from. Mr. Anderson, you were on Bound for Glory. But you know, you're doing pretty good, so I'm going to put you in that mix too. And then Joseph Park come in, and Hogan put him over saying, you know, I need a whole roster of guys like you, which would be awesome.
Oh, shit.
Like Joseph Park is the stormtrooper. Anyway, then he had to kick everybody out, Mr. Anderson, the cameraman, everybody, because Joseph Park needed to tell Hogan, and it was a client privilege and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's right. He knew something in his head about Aces and Eights, or maybe it was just the D-Von thing.
Well, no, there was something that, he, from being kidnapped, he had info about Aces and Eights being kidnapped. So, whatever the hell it was, we weren't allowed to know about it.
No,
we just,
that's great.
We just had to be out. And then, trying to remember what else, they had ODB against Tara. With her Jesse Goddard's.
Any more Who Are You chants?
No more Who Are You chants. Backstage was funny because Jesse was doing like presses with Victoria, with Tara, like pressing her over the head. And like the Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. And at the very end or whatever, I forget, they're like, oh, just one more shot. He's like, no, we're done here. We're done. And he's like, at one point, he goes, well, don't you know who I am? I'm Jesse from Big Brother. I was like, oh, fuck, that's awesome. But anyway, wow. ODB beat Tara and made, because she made the new couple look like a fool. Look like fools. So that got them over, you know, their first match.
That's fine.
But
they both have Hollywood boyfriends.
Yes. Well, that's true, and Eric Young was on the phone the whole time in the corner on the match.
Why?
Because ODB's like, where are you? I need you. And so she talked to him on the phone, and then she just put the phone down, and he was, like, on the phone the whole match. And she'd, like,
oh, I thought you meant he was at ringside, like, on a cell phone.
No. He was on the phone, literally, like, on the other end of the phone. And ODB would beat up Tara and then, like, go to the corner and pick up the phone and talk to Eric Young for a while.
So what you're telling me is, really, though, they've set up – what is their next pay-per-view? Did they even say?
No, I don't think so.
And they set up nothing for it. They set up a little bit for Championship Thursday. Anything at all about Aces and Eights revealed? Anything?
There's – the D-Von's not the leader. That there is another
that's
leader.
It. Okay, that's it. This sounds like a really shitty show. Any good wrestling matches?
Nothing happened. No, I mean
anything with RVD and the X title?
No, but although the rematch with RVD and Zema Ion on Championship Thursday, a rematch with Tara and Tessmacher on Championship Thursday, which explains why ODB beat Tara. Just trying to think of what else.
How about the tag titles with the Mexicans?
Yeah, they beat Kid Cash and Gunner.
Oh, again?
Yes. Yes.
Anything Angle, AJ, the actual tag team champs?
They did. As I said, the other Kaz wasn't there. He had some travel problems or something, so he wasn't there. But they did have a three-way from Kurt, Daniels, and AJ.
Oh, I bet they did.
Where the winner got the third spot in that Hogan gets to pick Championship Thursday deal.
So Angle won?
Yes. So Angle won, and Styles played the heel after the match. He didn't – something happened, and Styles wouldn't shake Angle's hand.
It's always been good when they've turned him heel. That's always been fucking money.
Yeah, I know.
Like fucking Heath Slater.
Perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's going to make sense. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done here?
I think, yeah, I'm just trying to think. Oh, Matt Morgan come out and backstage, and he is Joey Ryan's bodyguard officially, and he got in Hogan's face and yelled at him, and Hogan smiled like Hogan lit a fire under his ass or whatever. But, yeah, that was
yeah,
it,
that's
really.
That's the best use of Matt Morgan.
Bodyguard? Yeah, she probably is.
all right.
He didn't even tell Hogan that the intimidation that he gave him was brought to by Direct Energy.
Mm.
Or Direct Auto Insurance, not Direct Energy. Direct Auto Insurance.
All right.
But we don't have anything, don't really have anything else to check.
That's perfect, though. We're at 80 minutes here or so. So let's do our plugs. More We Talk Podcast. Sorry that there wasn't much content this week. Like I said, I had other stuff to go going on, but we'll be back. Mo_WeTalk, OUT. You got anything to add? I'm starving. I got a lasagna that's finished cooking.
That's ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com, and we're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and all that fun stuff. So
Stitcher.
Stitcher. So that's going to do it. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Boobies.